Welcome to day two of Review After Watching's 2021 Academy Awards special. The Oscars will be presented on April 25th this year, and every single day leading up to this year's ceremony, we will release an episode with the crew discussing one of the films nominated for Best Picture. We will conclude this on Saturday prior to the 93rd Annual Academy Awards being presented, with our own Oscar prediction special, where Brandon, Chris, and Josh will each select their favorite movie they predict to take home the gold in each major category. So please, check back each day to download and listen to those. For now, in today's episode, a group of misfits and political protesters are placed on trial in 1960s Chicago, fighting for their freedom. The question is, does the system work for them, or against them? Best Picture nominee, The Trial of the Chicago Seven.
Man, this is going to be the year where Fred Hammond's getting more recognition than he ever has before. Okay, because now we not only have another Best Picture nomination, Judas and the Black Messiah, which is all about him, but then again, in this picture, Trial of Chicago 7, he also makes an appearance. Now, he's not the one on trial, but they definitely go into a little bit of his life, which was very surprising for me. And I thought it was actually kind of funny. But for those of you who don't know, the Trial of Chicago 7 is based upon the protests that took place outside the DNC National Convention in Chicago during the 60s. And there are seven, or technically eight, people who are being charged with rioting or inciting riots. And this is movies all about their trial. It's a courtroom drama. It takes place majority in the courtroom. And so going into this, the big thing that's notable outside of the names that they have, I mean, they have some pretty big actors. You know Eddie Redmayne. I know Joshua, you know him. You're all about Harry Potter. So he is Newt from Fantastic Beasts. Then you also have Sacha Baron Cohen, who is in this film.
Yep.
Borat himself playing not exactly the Borat type character, but a very silly, over the top character that you might expect him to play with a little bit more depth in this film. And these seven people are on trial, but the trial is just political. There's really the case that they were being thrown at him is trumped up charges. It's based upon a faulty premise from the beginning. And you can, as you're watching the film, you begin to see like, okay, this already is leading to a predetermined conclusion. This whole trial thing is kind of a waste. And they really play up on that. So it was interesting to see. And for me, what I really wanted to see this movie for is that it's written and directed by Aaron Sorkin. Now, that is a writer who I really like. I always think that he does a fantastic job. He did The Newsroom. Dad, you and I watched that show quite a bit, starring Jeff Daniels. We really liked that show. He wrote The West Wing. He wrote Molly's Game, which is a movie that we also reviewed here on the channel. Things like that. And the guy just has a penchant for writing. He knows how to get good dialogue and write really well crafted scenes. And so I was excited for that, because he doesn't do too many things. So, you know, I wasn't really sure what to expect when we were going into this, right? I wanted to see the movie. I was always interested, like I said, for all those reasons I mentioned. But I don't know. I just wasn't in the mood for it, right? It seems like a lot of the nominations for Best Picture are kind of like really heavy down films, right? I didn't always want to see something that's really going to make me angry or depressed or just have me feeling a certain way, you know, especially having to watch any of these back to back. It's like, do I really want to go into that? But once you start it and you get into it, you're doing okay. You start to feel it and you're really along for the ride. And I, for one, thought that they told a really good story. And they did it pretty well. What do you guys think?
I mean, I thought the film was actually good because this is the last film I watched last night until like 2 o'clock in the morning for me. So I was like, okay, here goes this another like heavy emotional movie. And this movie had like lightheartedness and funny moments throughout the film. There's a lot of messed up stuff going on in this film. I'm sure we'll get into a little bit later talking about it, but it was light enough for me, you know, to like enjoy the film, to watch it like super late at night. So I appreciate it. I like the fact that Sacha Baron was in here too. You know, he was just funny, you know. This character, Abby was he was pretty good in the film. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed this film.
I loved this film. I thought it was fantastic. And I really didn't want to watch it. I had no desire to see this movie.
It seemed like we were all on that same page, man.
I knew about the slice of history, and sometimes I like Sacha Baron Cohen, he can get on my nerves, and sometimes I enjoy him. So I wasn't really sure that I wanted to watch this movie, but we assigned it to ourselves, and we watched it. And like Joshua said, I was so surprised. I really enjoyed this film. It was a great film. It was very well done. And as Brandon's saying, this seemed like a history lesson of Fred Hammond. If you flip some of these movies in a certain order, you start to learn a whole lot about this gentleman and his life. Just seems suddenly he's relevant enough to be in these last three or four movies or some vestige of his work or work that preceded him. This movie was filmed well. I love the cast. I love all the acting. You can see why this movie is going to be nominated for an award. This one was really, I think this would have done very well in theatrical release only if we weren't in COVID. I think it would be a very good movie.
Oh, but Netflix,
it's surprisingly enjoyable.
Netflix saw that too. Netflix was like, you know, we're gonna take a couple of these nominations, and so they snatched it up. They were not gonna let it be released theatrically.
This wasn't made for Netflix. They just snatched it up.
I don't remember if they had a deal with Aaron Sorkin to make a film, and he did this like what they did with Ava DuVernay before, or if it was already filmed and they bought the rights. I don't remember. I couldn't tell you. But either way, it's released on their platform, and it's one of those things where, you know, before Hollywood wasn't really, they reluctantly gave Netflix any nods for any awards previously. But now this year, a lot of these streaming services, like most of the films are from streaming services. They really had to take it into consideration considering the pandemic. Most people weren't at home, were at home, and there were no, you couldn't go to the theater.
And that's so true. This was the big battle last year at the Academy Awards, whether or not streaming service movies should even be nominated. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, bam, we're in a pandemic. Now, what do you do? Now, all the movies, all the source of entertainment is coming from streaming services.
Exactly.
And like you said, Sorkin and his writing, oh my God, he is incredible. When this man gets in a groove of writing, he can deliver a screenplay or TV series. When he's in the right mood, he can be phenomenal. And this movie is living up to its nomination. It's Sacha Baron Cohen. Let me just say, he knocks it out of the park. Like such a different role. And I understand he really went after to get this performance, to get this role. He auditioned, I forgot how many times. He made phone calls over and over. He really wanted to play this character, Abby Hoffman. And Abby Hoffman was an intriguing and very complex man. Again, one of these movies that falls into my backyard, where history and actual events are all unfolding on screen, which makes it extremely enjoyable and done such a way, directed and acted in such a way that knocks it out of the park. Definitely worth you. If you haven't seen it, to stream it. Thumbs up from me.
It's the only way to see it. It's to stream it. But yeah, Sacha Baron Cohen, I mean, there's a reason. I didn't know that he had really pursued it that intensely, but now you can see why he put so much into it and why he's nominated for an Oscar for his role in this film. He, you know, he really steals the scene because he plays a complex character. You know, the character is funny. He's got a lot of those traits that you expect Sasha to do, but he's also extremely intelligent, and it's subtle intelligence that comes into play and different times during the film that it really explain, like, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover. Just because he acts and believes a certain thing doesn't mean that he hasn't thought about his actions and he's not aware of what he's doing and why he's doing it. This is a conscious choice. And he really embodies that. If you look at the pictures of the actual person and Sacha Baron Cohen, he did a really good job looking like him a little bit. The hairstyle, I think more so than anybody else in the film. I think maybe,
Eddie Redmayne really looked like Tom Hayden. I know you guys aren't really aware of who he was.
I know who Tom Hayden is, and I could see it not as much. I actually thought Joseph Gordon-Levitt looked more like his character. I think he did a good job with that.
Oh, the performances were really good. And Frank Langella as the judge.
Oh
my God.
Perfect.
Oh my God. That was these roles. I mean, the performances, the script was good. I mean, this is going to be a hard year, I think, for the Academy. There are so many outstanding individual performances in a lot of these different movies that we'll be covering closer as we get to the Oscar countdown. But it is. Wow. Wow.
Yeah. This movie is very interesting because you have like Judas and the Black Messiah, which is a Fred Hampton story, and you have Fred Hampton depicted in this film a little bit too as well. So it's kind of funny how like this certain time of history, everybody's kind of like overlapping this year in terms of the nominations. The Trial by Chicago 7, for me, it was an enjoyable film because it was kind of funny because the absurdity of this trial, which is, you know, which is haunting because watching the judge do all these terrible things, you know, clearly has an opinion about these people already. And like, this actually happened, right? Like, this is actually true. Yeah. Yeah. It's just true. Just especially with Bobby Seale in this film, too. Like, this is something that I knew about, but I got reminded again, like, yeah, there was a man that was just sitting in court without a lawyer and countlessly saying, I don't have a lawyer, and being tried in an American courtroom for months. And like, it baffled me because you had a lawyer saying on his behalf, like, I don't represent him. You're a judge that knows this. And then you have the feds over here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trying this man and just continuing to go on with this farce. Like, so you had all these people in power in our political system, like, yo, like, our government's over here denying this man his rights, like, blatantly, and just deciding to go on with it. So,
and they take it to the extreme. And I want people to, I think it's important for people to understand that what they depict happens to Bobby Seale through the course of this film does happen. Everything. Matter of fact, they did not explain how long it occurred. There's an incident that occurs with Bobby Seale that the judge orders, that the judge in fact did order, and it lasted for not a few hours. It lasted for days. He was in that position for days. And that was a big deal.
I mean, I couldn't believe I was watching in that time period the reinstitution of Jim Crow treatment of black men in our society, where he was not even a person. He didn't even count as half a man. You can see it being depicted. He's saying he doesn't have a lawyer, and you won't let him represent himself. Basically, we've decided your fate. Sit down, be quiet. I mean, you don't count. To know that was actual transcripts that Aaron Sorkin was writing from,
mm-hmm.
that this is all factual. There's film, there's clips, there's tons of media coverage. And as a country, we allowed this to exist, or that this trial even moved forward from the time Brandon was describing in Joshua, is unfathomable to me. How do you even go forward, let alone anything else? It's incredible.
Yeah, and to like the point where it just went to the extreme where, you know, where like they were like, oh, can we finally, you know, like, to, like that's when you guys had enough. It wasn't the fact that you were basically, you know, metaphorically doing the same thing to this man for months. It wasn't until this situation happened where you could see it in front of you that you had like a change of heart. Like, you were just, you know, ready to just send this man off to the prison for the rest of his life. Like, he didn't even have a lawyer. Like, what the heck? He didn't even have a lawyer. And what was he even appointed to? Like, this is This is ridiculous. I mean, yeah. I could talk to.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Say no. It just like I could talk about Bobby Seale forever, man. Like, what else did you want to say about it?
Can you imagine this actually happened to men in the 1920s and 30s, and they rotted in jail like this to the day they die, just this way? No lawyer can never even speak. They've already decided your fate. You're either going to be hung or you're going to die in prison or put on the chain gang, consider free labor of the state in states like Louisiana, Alabama, and Mississippi. Because you're a commodity. You are not a human being. And I've never seen it more. That was very eloquently displayed in that movie. My hat off to them.
It was. Aaron Sorkin did a good job, like I said, and he showcased it, and he showcased it the right way. There were some definitely flaws with that. One is that the prosecutor, you know, they tried to make Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character seem a little bit more sympathetic, like he, you know, he was the one who went up there. That's not how it happened. He didn't do that at all. Matter of fact, he was a bulldog for the Justice Department. He was all in for what he was doing, and he was proud of all the actions that they took. The reason that things ended the way they did was because of some of the judge's actions and some of the outrage of other people that eventually led to that decision. But it wasn't because of the prosecutor. That needs to be clear.
Wow.
Also, the one thing I do want to mention, because I don't think that it's right, is that they had Fred Hampton in this, and I don't think that they should have. He was not there. That is important to know. He was not present during this trial. No, he was not. He was not there talking to Bobby Seale. He was not there giving him little notepads of advice and stuff. That did not occur. Bobby Seale was there on his own speaking. I mean, of course, Black Panthers were likely in the crowd, but him himself was not there. He had his own thing going on. And if you've watched Judas and the Black Messiah, which we will also be discussing at some point, his story takes place parallel to this. Especially towards the end, there was no way that he could have been in two places at once. And so adding him kind of irritated me, and it irritated some other people that we know, because it didn't need to be there. You just added another person because you tried to make that story and how that story eventually goes relevant to Bobby Seale at that moment. And while, of course, that may have had an impact on Bobby Seale in real life, it wasn't the way they depicted it. They made it seem as like, yo, this is his motivation for actually getting more aggressive and more speaking out. And that wasn't the case. So that, if I had to say, was a flaw, was one of them to me. That was one of the biggest things that it kind of bothered me that I didn't like about the film. But it's not a huge deal, right? It's not like it was a major thing, but it is in there. And I felt it was worth acknowledging. But outside
didn't
of that,
Yeah, I didn't know that either. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting that the writers would, like, add something like that to having. I mean, maybe, I don't wonder why he would add in the film. I don't want to make excuses for him, but, like, I think it may be highlighted at a different point. Like, yo, at the same time that this court system's, like, is as corrupt, it's even corrupt on the streets. Like, tying Fred Hampton, like, in Chicago, in the same city, this is happening at the same time. The trial. Right. The trial's going on and they kill him assassinating Fred Hampton. So it's like it was just this whole city was corrupt from the police department to the judge. Maybe that's what they were trying to show. But I'm not the director. But other than that, the film was good, man. It's very lighthearted for like such a heavy topic. Right. It's good. I like it's crazy that this was a true story, but I think it was an enjoyable film. It's much different tone than Judas and the Black Messiah. I don't know why I'm like comparing the films together, but like this one, I enjoyed it. I really did. I think the actors killed it. They knocked it out of the park. I think they showcased what really happened. It was well done.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen a good courtroom drama. So it was that already got me because I like those movies. To do it on this true story and to have such a prolific writer delivering it to us, both writing and directing it, just made it sweeter. And I think that this is definitely one I can see why it's nominated. I enjoyed it. I think the performances are what really carried it through. A lot of them, like I said, And if you haven't had a chance to see it, you should check it out. I think it's well worth your time. I know you're going to look at it and be like, ah, I don't feel like watching it, just like all of us were. But once you get into it, I think that'll go away and you'll get into it. Okay, that was it. You guys didn't have anything else to say?
No.
I thought that was your closing thoughts. My bad.
Yeah, me too. I thought that was a point to wrap up.
An outro. Yeah, I thought that was an outro.
This has been an Audio Mind production.